UK government might have shut down?
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Good morning. I am Roland Martin, broadcasting live from Houston at Jack Gates High School, where, of course, I graduated from 30 years ago. Coming up next on News One Now, Donald Trump angry with protesters all across the country dealing with his Muslim ban. A federal judge has halted the ban all across the country. And guess what? The madman went tweeting mad this weekend. We'll break it down where even Republicans are upset with his trashing of a federal judge. Also on the show, we'll talk with Reverend William Barber. Can he take his Moral Mondays movement national to impact our national politics? They have a huge march in Raleigh, North Carolina on Saturday. We'll talk with him live in a simulcast with the Tom Joyner Morning Show. Also, how can our inner city schools actually compete in a present day? While talking here with the principal of Yates High School and also a school board member as well here in Houston about that very issue. Also, NAACP Image Award nominee. Guess what? We're talking about the issue of green smoothies. That's right. We'll be chatting with J.J. Smith about her New York Times bestseller book dealing with green smoothies. Plus, unbelievable Super Bowl. How in the hell did Atlanta let the Patriots come back and win? It's time to bring the funk. News One Now on TV One.
It's a success.
Third weekend as president, and Donald Trump gets slapped down by another federal judge, this time in Washington State. A ban was halted all across America when it came to his Muslim ban. Of course, the White House says it is not a ban, but the fact of the matter is, it is. Well, this decision came down late Friday night when U.S. District Judge James Robart was, of course, a George Bush appointee, actually ordered this particular ban, saying that folks cannot be prevented from coming into the country. Of course, Trump didn't waste any time not only criticizing the decision, but even trashing the federal judge. This is what Donald Trump tweeted. Quote, the opinion of the so-called judge, y'all, he's an actual federal judge, lifetime appointment, which essentially takes law enforcement away from our country, is ridiculous and will be overturned. The Justice Department immediately appealed the ruling to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, but that appeal was denied, setting up this going to the U.S. Supreme Court. Vice President Mike Pence defended the ban as necessary protection from terrorism and said the administration will ultimately be victorious. This was yesterday on the Sunday morning news shows.
Permanently suspending immigration from Syria and suspending for a set period of time the remaining six countries is consistent with the president's commitment to do just that. We're very confident the president's operating within his authority as president, both under the Constitution and under clear statutory law.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, not too pleased with Donald Trump's slamming of a federal judge, said Congress will allow the court to resolve the legality of this travel ban.
Courts are going to decide whether the executive order the president issued is valid or not, and we all follow court orders. The administration is following the court order, as I understand it, and the courts will ultimately determine the validity of it. Let me just say, I think proper vetting is important to the American people, but there's a fine line here between proper vetting and interfering with the kind of travel or suggesting some kind of religious test. And we need to avoid doing that kind of thing. We all want to try to keep terrorists out of the United States, but we can't shut down travel. We certainly don't want Muslim allies who fought with us in countries overseas to not be able to travel to the United States. We need to be careful about this.
Also, Trump's bromance with Putin of Russia has continued. He did an interview yesterday with Bill O'Reilly, which aired before the Super Bowl, where he would not even criticize Putin. In fact, trashed America in trying to praise Putin. Watch.
Will I get along with him? I have no idea.
He's a killer, though.
I won't.
Putin's a killer.
A lot of killers. You got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
Wow. That has led to Republicans across the country criticizing Donald Trump for trashing America, saying we have killers, too, and excusing the behavior of Vladimir Putin. Let's go right to it with our panel, Lauren Victoria Burke, political analyst and writer for NBC Black, Eugene Craig, CEO of Eugene Craig Organization, and also Republican out of Maryland, Monique Presley, legal analyst and attorney for the Presley firm. Lauren, to sit there and first of all, let's deal with Russia first and I'll deal with the travel ban. To watch Donald Trump again excuse Vladimir Putin as a murderous thug and go, oh, we got killers too. At what point do Republicans say we cannot continue to back the toxic behavior of Donald Trump?
Well, they haven't said it yet. I mean, we just had an election where the Russians influenced the election, and they haven't shown any desire to investigate that. And no matter how friendly this president and now his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, has appeared to the Russian government, Republicans have sort of not really said anything yet, which I think the breaking point is probably going to come when we get a summit or he makes some sort of a deal with Putin that is a lasting part of his legacy or his presidency. That's when I think we're going to see Republicans say something. But for now, they haven't said anything.
Eugene, I mean, seriously, when you ask when Bill O'Reilly says Putin is a killer, he goes, yeah, we got a bunch of killers, too. What the hell?
You know that's the anti-America statement. There's no greater country in the world than America. I mean, there's no other country in the world that affords human rights, and civil liberties that America affords. America's, there's no comparison between a country that produces freedom like America and a country that literally still produces communism and authoritarianism like Russia. And, the bodies that Putin has lined up, there's literally no comparison of it. But also, I will also point out, I think it was a piss poor job on Bill O'Reilly's part. We've seen him go after folk for much worse, much lesser things than, comparing America to Putin's administration. Yeah.
Oh, well, first of all, Eugene, there's no doubt at all that if President Barack Obama had answered that question the same way Trump did, Bill O'Reilly would have lost his mind and likely turned into Chucky from a horror film if he answered that way.
Absolutely. I mean, he would have lost his mind. Handy would have lost his mind. I mean, half of the Fox Network would have lost their mind. But, that shows the feebleness of the current state of things.
Monique, I'm going to go to you. Here's what Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse said. He said, quote, is the U.S. at all like Putin's regime? Not at all. It seems that Sasse is the only Republican who has the guts to take on President Trump.
Well, look, the Republicans have to be right now having an identity crisis in that someone's been elected who is supposed to be not just the head of our country, but also the head of their party. And he is so clearly a man without party and really a man without country. All I see him representing is the United States of Trump right now. And that's not working for the rest of this country, nor is it working for the rest of the world. I do believe, though, that because the Republicans in Congress know a great deal more, they have access to high security level information. And at some point, they're going to go the way of Congresswoman Maxine Waters and start saying things out loud that have to be said. But it's going to be after that investigation isn't just something they're talking about starting, but once they actually have to start calling witnesses, have to start looking at the information, then they will feel like they're so-called forced. I'll use the air quotations like our president does. They'll be forced to call a thing a thing and look at President Trump's relationship with Russia and the fact that everyone who works for him, did you see the dance that Pence did this weekend? It's ridiculous. Everyone who's in the Trump administration right now knows something that the rest of us don't know. And I think that we all have to take a good hard look at it.
Monique, as an attorney, let's talk about this whole decision by the judge Friday. To have Trump, again, trashing another federal judge, saying so-called judge. Again, Sasse says, quote, we don't have so-called judges. I mean, this is the president of the United States who has no problem trashing a federal judge that disagrees with him. This was a George Bush appointee.
Right, but look, we've got a president of the United States who's not really familiar with the working papers called the Constitution of the United States of America and the separation of powers. So he's learning, you know, on the job that when you do something that is illegal in our country, that there is another branch of government, maybe two if the Republicans start showing up, that are responsible for checking the actions of the president. And that's what this federal judge did, and that's what the Ninth Circuit followed and did. And that is what the Supreme Court will do, no matter whether he gets this appointee through or not, because, hey, they're there for life. They don't have anyone to please but themselves.
Eugene.
Yeah, well, I'll point out a couple things. First and foremost, Mitch McConnell came out and repudiated his statement as they were leaked Saturday night, clipping of the interview.
Actually, Eugene McConnell didn't really do that. Yesterday on the Sunday morning news shows, he danced around this whole deal of criticizing Trump, saying, I'm not going to comment on everything that he says. I'm like, dude, you're the Senate Majority Leader. Yeah. Have the guts to say the President of the United States should not be trashing a federal judge if you disagree. That's why you have lawyers who appeal decisions. You don't personally attack federal judges and you disagree with.
Well, he won't do it. Well, I was going to take it a step further and say, furthermore, McConnell's also, you know, put the brakes on this whole election investigation that Trump wants to do. There will be no federal funds there. But, you know, I agree with Monique, and I agree with probably what Lauren's going to say behind me. You know, our judges are our judges. This is a Bush appointee that I believe was confirmed almost unanimously, if not unanimously, who's standing up for civil liberties and civil rights. And I think it speaks volumes that the Ninth Circuit appellate would not allow for an emergency stay and allow the judge's ruling to carry on.
Yeah, the president.
Lauren, first of all, I want you to, hold on 1 second. I want you to speak on this, but also the pressure Republicans are under right now. They're getting their phones blown up all across Capitol Hill when it comes to Sessions and Betsy DeVos, their cabinet appointments, but also on a health care deal. We saw this weekend Republicans running out of their own health care town halls, refusing to answer questions. Even the New York Times had a piece this weekend saying that Trump and his team, they're feeling the pressure from the protests. People say protests don't matter. It looks like they're working.
Well, it looks good so far, but really, until you get to the ballot box, the protests are nice, the protests are fantastic, but until you prove that you can throw somebody out of office, it really doesn't mean anything. I mean, this president,
Lauren, I got to push back. To have Republicans who have been yelling, okay, repeal Obamacare. Now you have Trump saying, hey, we might not do this thing until next year. They were all gung-ho 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Now because of the pressure, the phone calls, the town halls, they're now having to back off.
Yeah, it's the pressure, but it's also the fact this president has no idea what he's doing and hasn't put forth a plan for Obamacare and keeps saying that he wants to cover everybody. So now he's got the Republican Party confused about what to do next. So they don't really know what they're doing next. They came out of their retreat not knowing. And, you know, I think it's great to see Tom McClintock running out of his town hall surrounded by law enforcement because he's getting a bunch of questions from, and Pete Roskam, you know. But the thing is, until you get to the ballot box and you start to actually show electoral power, that's all for show. I mean, what Trump is actually doing is he's galvanizing the left and galvanizing progressives. That's what Trump is doing.
Lauren, I remember you saying the same thing about Moral Mondays, and then they threw out McCrory in North Carolina,
and they turned you on
the Supreme Court.
This movement hasn't proved it yet. We got 646 days to find out.
No. But here's the deal, Monique. It's very simple. If you don't even start the pressure, you're not going to have the end result of throwing somebody out. The pressure now does matter.
Oh, and it has to be relentless. It's just like Congresswoman Waters said over the weekend. Somebody was asking her in an interview, is this what we have to look forward to for the next 4 years? And she said, oh, no. I'm not counting on 4 years. My principal job, my only job right now, is to usher this president toward impeachment. So that has to be the marching orders for all those who understand that this is a man who is emotionally and intellectually unfit to serve in office and is a danger to our country. There are already impeachable offenses, and I know that there are people who are having those conversations, but yes, there has to be a groundswell from the people outside of the Capitol in order to make it necessary.
Hold tight, folks. When we come back, we'll talk to Reverend William Barber about the issue of protests, how it could impact public policy as well as our politics. We'll talk to him next with, of course, their march on Saturday in North Carolina, the Moral Monday. That continues next. News One Now, broadcasting live from Houston, Jack Hayes High School. Back on TV One, just a moment.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, welcome back to TV One's News One Now. We're about to chat with Tom Joyner on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Roland Martin!
Roland now.
This morning from Houston.
H. Jones, the scene of the crime.
Roland Martin.
Tom Joyner, Sybil, Arsenio Hall. Hey, folks. Hey, Tom, actually, is even better than that, Tom. I'm broadcasting live from Jack Gates High School, Magnet School of Communications, where 30 years ago I graduated from here, was named the best student while I was here, and it actually, people realize it was always... It was always, I got the war to prove it. It was always a dream to actually come back to do a broadcast. So we're actually doing a national radio broadcast and national television broadcast at the very same time in the very halls where I walked as a student here within the Magnet School of Communications. So it's
great is that?
To be back. No, it is awesome. It is awesome.
And
so it's also
article,
great for the school.
And I sent you an article last week. About the most,
alums?
Yeah, the alums of Jack Yates High School has the most Super Bowl
players.
Yeah, Super Bowl players.
Participants. Oh,
players. Yeah, more Super Bowl players have come out of Jack Yates High School than probably any high school in the country.
Yep.
Unfortunately, yep. So they went to the Cowboys, and I know how you feel about the Cowboys.
No. Here's the deal. Santana Dotson, who was my classmate, would play for the Packers in the Super Bowl, so I'll give him. I won't give any props to any of the people to the Cowboys. I won't give any of them props. And let me also say this here, Tom, that this is even crazy. So D'Angela Proctor, who's a senior vice president for programming at TV One, was also a classmate of mine at Yates School of Communications. So all of this even coming together. So it's always great to be back here.
Wow,
and
I know D'Angela.
And so it's absolutely fabulous. So Arkansas Plying Buff, I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm at your school tomorrow, speaking tomorrow morning. Let's get right to it, Tom. And that is, Donald Trump is feeling the heat. New York Times had a story this weekend saying the protests are really getting to him under his skin. Well, our next guest plans on getting under his skin and getting under that fake hair of his as well. Joining us right now, the president of the North Carolina State Conference of the NAACP, Reverend William Barber. Dr. Barber, my alpha brother, what's up?
What's up, 06? And I don't know what to say to Tom, but what up, Tom?
So Reverend Barber, y'all have the Moral Mondays, the annual march on Saturday. And for folks who don't understand, what's taking place on Saturday, this anniversary of March, really was what kicked all of this thing off a number of years ago.
That's right. It's a people's assembly. It's a march, a people's assembly. It's a time when we get focused for the fight. It's not just a one-time march, but this year we're focusing on standing against repeal of health care, because about 3 to 4 million people would be hurt in North Carolina, about 1.5 million people with pre-existing conditions, including my own daughter. We're standing against our General Assembly holding up, redoing the lines. You know, we won in court that they were supposed to redraw the lines, and we would have a special election. They still have not done that yet. And we're standing with our Muslim brothers and sisters. Excuse me. We're also standing for just for what is right, what is just. We're making our plans for what we're going to do in terms of civil disobedience in the future, how we're going to march on these congressional offices when they're in their home districts. So this is the place to be. All roads lead to the Moral March on Raleigh. Begins at 9 o'clock at 9 o'clock right on the campus of Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Politico did a story this weekend, and they talked about could this very well be a template, they said, for Democrats, but I said they got the headline wrong. I corrected on social media. This is an issue-driven movement that's focusing through a moral prism. That's different from a Democratic or political movement.
Exactly. It's about moral analysis, moral articulation, moral activism. It's about staying with it, not just having one event. You know, we've been with this for 11 years. We started when Democrats were in office. We saw a major victory this year. Trumpism could not come all the way down in North Carolina because we had this movement of black and white and brown and gay and straight men, even 11% Republicans who stood with us against extremism. And so we are also marching against Trumpism this year. But some people don't get it. They think that you just have a march. This is we have a legal strategy, an organizing strategy. We have a civil disobedience strategy. And about 32 states I've traveled to this year where other people are starting to see if you do not build intentionally, indigenously led, diverse, morally, constitutionally, anti-racist, anti-poverty, pro-justice fusion movements in these states, you cannot make a difference. But if you do, Dr. King told us in 61 that this could happen. We've been in Georgia, we've been in Alabama, we've been in Kansas. People are starting to understand that it can't be a party movement. It must be a moral movement that reframes the entire issue. Some things, Roland, are not about left and right, Democrat versus Republican. It's about right versus wrong. And we also, in our movement, understand you have to deal with race and class, not just race or not just class. You have to bring both of those together and organize in that way.
Reverend Barber, can you please again tell the story of our audience when you were at a parade in 2014 when a redneck approached you?
Yeah, well, what actually has happened, we have been able to organize in places you would not think. Mitchell County, that's 99% white, 89% Republican. We're organizing. They actually built 6-7 new branches of the NAACP in an area we never thought about. In another place, we were fighting for health care, and this white guy actually had a Confederate hat on, came up to me and says, you know, I've been misunderstanding this all the while. He didn't realize that when he was standing against the Affordable Care, or as he called Obamacare, he was hurting his own rural hospital that was being closed because our state would not expand health care. A lot of people didn't know that they thought it was just about Obama. They didn't realize that 346,000 people that were being hurt by denying Medicaid were white and 140,000 were black. What we've done in our movement is say you have to bring that together because the Southern strategy, as you know, Roland, is built on lies and deception, code words to keep blacks and whites and brown people from working together. Because if you ever build that kind of fusion coalition in places like North Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama, and Texas and Virginia, you actually can turn the South. And if you turn the South, you can turn the nation. And so we're seeing, you come to the march on Saturday, you'll see probably 45, 50% of the people there will be white. It'll be white and black and all of us coming together around not just an event, but around a commitment to engage morally. Let me just, one of the things we
and,
say to people.
This is important for our audience. Yes. You are using Saturday to also capture data, not just to have people come out and walk.
That's exactly right. They'll get a plan, they'll get data, they'll understand what's going on, and we give folk marching orders. You cannot march one time and have transformation. You have to stay in there and fight and fight and fight.
And how do we get more information about the Moral March?
Go to the NCNAACP website, NCNAACP website, hashtag Moral Resistance, but go to NCNAACP. NCNAACP.
Reverend William Barber, my
Thank
friend,
you, sir.
My leader. Keep putting the pressure on him, brother.
That's right, old Elvis. All right. Jack Yates.
J.Y. Third one. All right, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Huggy next. 25 past the hour.
All right, folks, when we come back here on TV1's News One Now, we'll talk with the principal of Yates, also a school board member as well here in Houston, about how do you redefine an urban school. That's next. News One Now on TV1 from Houston.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
All right, folks, let's pull in our panel again. Lauren Victoria Burke, Eugene Craig, and Monique Presley. I want to start with you, Eugene, first, what Reverend Barber just said, which I think is critically important, and that is having a movement that goes beyond this whole issue of Democrat-Republican. We understand that politics plays a role in this, but the reality is this here. They have had an impact by being able to connect race and class to get broke white folks to realize you're in the same boat as black folks on these political issues.
Absolutely. I have a friend, Catalina Bird, always says that, you know, classism runs much deeper than racism. And, you know, when it comes to certain issues of economic justice, I do think there is some level of overlap. One thing I would personally like to see is, I think we all can agree that to a degree, the Obamacare has failed our country.
Eugene, we can't go to an agreement that quote failed America.
You can't argue that is a massive lie. Premium hikes.
That is a lie.
Massive premium hikes across the country. Massive premium hikes across
Eugene,
the country.
Eugene, let me help you out with something. First of all, when you had Republicans across the country fighting the various exchanges, fighting this along the way, not wanting to succeed, and if you tell some 30 million Americans who have not had that, if you got a family out there with a pre-existing condition now covered, you cannot tell me that is failure. That is crazy.
Look, I live in Maryland. You know, the first couple of years in Maryland, we were literally, you know, Connecticut. You know, the folk in Maryland were using the exchange from Connecticut because you know, Maryland, Royal Blue Maryland, that has legit, you know, that had up and down Democrat control, implementation of Obamacare, failed.
Yeah.
Failed. Absolutely failed. And that wasn't just something that was unique to Maryland. It's something that happened across the country.
The rate of the uninsured is the lowest in 25 years. Obviously, the pre-existing condition clause is huge for a lot of people. I'm not sure what Republicans, you know, want to do other than complain about something and not have any ideas and not want to actually fix it. Like, you know, it's one thing to say that the law doesn't work. It's another thing to have absolutely no ideas to cover health insurance in this country. So, I mean, it is great to see Reverend Barber's coalition. Reverend Barber's coalition actually is very important. But one of the things that's a problem, particularly in North Carolina, is the fact that the Republicans do rig the seats around this country. The effort that Eric Holder is putting on, I think it might actually end up being more important than the effort that Reverend Barber is putting on to fix the redistricting in this country, because a lot of these seats are rigged. You know, Democrats are over-indexed in this country, and we keep losing. Democrats keep losing House seats when there's really no demographic reason for it.
But here's a piece, Monique. The reality is here. Without a Reverend Barber doing what they're doing, you don't have the groundswell for a Holder's effort when it comes to redistricting. Because here's the piece. Pat McCrory, the governor of North Carolina, had approval ratings that were hovering around 60% when Moral Monday started. That thing got knocked down to less than 30% 3 years later. These things all go hand in hand. If you have a political, a legal effort with no grassroots, then you have nothing backing you up. They all go hand in hand. That's why I believe it has an impact when it comes to public policy, Monique.
Listen, if you turn the South, you turn the nation. That's what Dr. Barber said, and it is 100% true. We would still be absent a 13th Amendment if that wasn't true. I mean, it really is a moral majority in this country that then leads us into a governance that is moral laws. It's not the other way around. So what we're finding now is people who are just regular citizens talking to each other. Dr. Barber's movement is creating the conversation so that they can understand. Look, people perish for lack of knowledge. We had a lot of people who were ignorant to the facts concerning Obamacare, still right here in this room, because, you know, we've got 6% of the people who are getting coverage who experienced rate hikes that they shouldn't have. But the vast majority get their insurance from work, and then the rest get it through the same Medicare and Medicaid coverage that they had before. So when we talk about massive hikes, it's a disaster. That's just not reality. Obamacare is working for the vast majority of Americans.
folks, when you talk about this whole issue, again, in terms of grassroots support, how do you impact change? The same thing applies to education. As I said at the top of the show, I'm here at Jack Hayes High School, which has a distinguished group of alumni, graduates, including Felicia Rashad Allen, Debbie Allen, Kim Gagne, of course, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Texas State Representative, former Texas State Representative Garnett Coleman, also Santana Dotson, I mentioned earlier, who played in the Super Bowl, Dexter Manley, and you see the picture there, D'Angelo Proctor, our TV1's Senior Vice President, Programming, and of course, yours truly, 87 graduate. But what Yates is like many other schools, traditional, historic black high school, facing challenges when you begin to talk about when neighborhoods change, folks begin to move out as well. And so joining us right now is Ken Davis, the principal of Yates High School, and Jolanda Jones, second vice president on the school board here, Houston Independent School District. Ken, I want to start with you first because this really is happening all across the country where we have historic black high schools that are being impacted by changes in neighborhoods, and we're losing many of our historic black high schools as a result.
Right. Yeah, and generally it just comes down to equity. You know, we have this term of equity for all kids, but it's actually not happening. Our kids need more support in our urban schools. And when we're looking at what our
actually look like, we have an audio issue here with the microphone there. Okay, so we can't hear him there. Y'all don't hear him? That's no problem. See, we're gonna improvise on television. All right, Ken, talking to that microphone right there.
Thank you. Good morning. It comes down to equity for our schools. We're looking at what we can do to fund our schools equitably in terms of funding, financial resources, human capital, et cetera, and that will support what we're doing at our schools. This is not an option where we have to make an accommodation for our finances for our schools. It's mandatory. We have to support our kids in order to get them to be academically challenging with the rest of the world.
All right. Let's see here. Jolanda, your thoughts.
Yes, well, my thoughts are this. We have to have school boards that actually allocate resources equitably. For example, here in Houston, we have a school board that until recently was giving more money to the very few schools that had the affluent children in HISD. And it actually became a self-fulfilling prophecy because what they did was they gerrymandered the attendance districts, which caused a lot of the athletes, for example, who should go to Yates, to go to like Lamar and Bel Air, where they gave them all the resources. And any parent wants for their child to go where there's all the stuff and where there's all the opportunity. So I believe that you have school boards, you have the Texas State Legislature and other places that actually implement a plan to decimate the public schools, close them, and fund money to charter schools.
Ken, but here's the deal. First of all, the charter schools are also public schools, but the problem that I see, Ken, is that when you're dealing with a lot of these different schools in terms of how it's structured, is that it is to your point. Parents want their kids to go where the best education is. But for you as a principal, you're actually at the end of a process because what's happening for you, it's a feeder system. Right. If it's not happening in elementary schools, in middle schools, by the time you get them, you have almost a difficult, almost impossible task.
Right. It's a mountain to climb. And when we're looking at our feeder patterns, there's not a clear feeder pattern to most of our high schools, specifically Jack Yates. There isn't a clear feeder pattern for our schools, even though, and as Trustee said, that there had been some gerrymandering of boundaries. A lot of our kids, and over 600 of our kids, are actually zoned to other schools. And so that creates a problem for us to maintain the equity we're looking at to fund our programs.
Well, I think one of the things, again, as I travel around this country, Jolanda, and that is when we've gone talking about school choice in other different places, and we've shown communities a lot of places where they have feeder patterns, where you'll see F's for the elementary schools, F's for the middle schools, F's for the high schools. So you have literally black kids who are starting in kindergarten and attending failing schools, and for their entire career attending failing schools. That's a problem.
It's absolutely a problem, but I believe it's by design, which is why we need people on school boards who are going to pay attention to that. For example, in HISD, we have some schools that are getting $1,200 per child. We have other schools that are getting like $390 per child. Well, clearly, I can give the child that's getting $1,200 per child more than I can give a child who's getting $309 per child. So there are a lot of things going on that people are not talking about, and we need to redo public finance education, and especially here in Texas. They have actually decreased
the amount of public school funding. So we need more money, not less.
All right, then. Jolanda, Ken, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Now, I said, weren't you principal of the year?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Okay, just checking. All right, cool. All right, folks, when we come back, how can you live a better life? Well, author Sherry Riley will break that down for us next. Also, don't forget, we chatted with J.J. Smith about her green smoothie cleanse. Some of y'all need to go ahead and use that. Actually, it's not too bad. Even I tolerated that the taste of what she had for us. Where do y'all see that segment? All of that next, News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks. Welcome back to News One Now here on TV One. All right. And we always trying to help folks live their best life, trying to offer you some guidance in doing so. This is a new year, of course. And so my next guest, she says she has some answers for you. Of course, Sherry Riley, of course, she's been traveling around the country, motivational speaker, author as well. And so she talks about this idea of exponential living. Okay? That's her book, Stop Spending 100% of Your Time on 10% of Who You Are. Sherry, how you doing?
I'm good, Roland. How you doing?
Okay, so when you say spending 100% of time on 10% of who you are, what does that mean?
So many of us, especially as high achievers who know how to go after success, we narrow our lives down to this small 10%, and then we expect to have 100% of our fulfillment. So what I want to do is help others, like I helped myself, because I was a victim of it, is really learn how to live in that other 90%.
And so we say living that other 90%, what does that look like? I mean, how do we even ascertain that, to understand we're living in only 10%? How do we figure that out?
Well, it's most of us who are high achievers, we know it because we have these great careers or we have these great things going on in our lives where we're accomplished, but we know there's things that are missing. Some of us want to get married. Some of us want to transition to other positions. Some of us just want to get some of our time back. And what I found is my 9 principles of exponential living serve as the guide on how to get to that other 90%. Because at the end of the day, the key is to pursue peace, choose clarity, and live courageously. And when we do those 3 things, we can accomplish anything.
Okay, so somebody's sitting out there watching right now, and they're saying, okay, I got you. That sounds great. Where do I start?
Where do I start? Well, the first place to start is to recognize that you really do want to make the decision and have the courage to live outside of that norm that you currently have. I met a gentleman last night, and he said, I know I'm unhappy. I know I've got this good career, but I'm too afraid. And so we have to first say, I'm going to look at that fear, hit it head on, and say, I'm going to jump outside of my norm. And then we have to make different decisions that will allow us to have different outcomes.
All right, then. And so if you're beginning a process to do this, and so what do you say? Do you spend 3 months, 6 months doing this self-assessment to go through this? And then so give folks a time frame, if you will.
Well, it's different for everybody. Well, the first step is to get my book. That's the first step, right? We got to have the information.
No, you're right. I mean, I understand getting the book, but again, there's still a time frame there because for some folks, it's different than others.
Right. And there really is no set time. But really what we have to do is make that decision to start. Because when we make the decision to start, then for some of us, it's the process is immediate because we made the decision and then we start making those changes. And then for some of us, we recognize that it's over time. But here's the big key, Roland. It's a lifestyle. That's the biggest thing, that it's a lifestyle. It's not a decision. It's not a choice that we make an end result. We reach an end result. But we recognize it's a lifestyle. Exponential living is a lifestyle of pursuing peace, choosing clarity, and living courageously so that we can make those decisions on a daily basis to recognize that the power of peace is what we're all pursuing. Because we get the money, we get the fame, we get the access, and then we realize that we're still empty. And when we pursue the peace first, then we can enjoy all the great accomplishments that we have.
All right, then. The folks, pull the book up, please, for our audience. The book is Exponential Living. All right, come on. Let me see the graphic, please. That is Stop Spending 100% of Your Time on 10% of Who You Are by Sherry Riley. And the forward there is by Usher. Sherry, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Roland.
All right, folks, trying to get your health in order. Fit Live Win is next. JJ Smith talks about her green smoothie cleanse. Next, News One Now on TV One, broadcasting from Houston. We'll be back in a moment.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now. With Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
All right, folks, on Saturday, NAACP Image Awards airs right here on TV One. Of course, when you watch the show, you'll see folks in the areas of music and television and movies, but you also have literary folks who've been nominated. I'm also nominated again this year. JJ Smith, of course, she's nominated for an Image Award again for her book, Green Smoothie Cleanse, Green Smoothies for Life. Well, we had a conversation about green smoothies and how this could lead you to a much better life. Here's our conversation.
So the 10-day green smoothie cleanse is really your jump start to weight loss. It's really a detox. It's not a weight loss plan like in right. Green Smoothies for Life. It is intended to be a weight loss, a detox. So you literally swap out your breakfast, lunch, and dinner for green smoothies, right? So okay. your primary meals are going to be green smoothies. But the key to success on the 10-day green smoothie cleanse are your snacks. People don't realize this. You have to snack every 2 to 3 hours. You don't let hunger set in. Once hunger set in, you're going to want a cheeseburger, okay?
Yes.
Green smoothies not
yes.
going to cut it.
I mean, and look, and that's straight up. Because with my schedule was so crazy, I'm sitting here going, yo, I'm hungry.
Right.
And I'm trying to be good. I'm trying.
Trying.
And it was like, okay, I'm going to eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I can't. It's killing.
That's
I'm
what
like,
happens.
I can't.
And I always tell people, you eat the snacks before you get hungry.
So first of all, what are the snacks?
Okay.
What are the snacks?
The snacks are, you can do nuts and seeds. I know those aren't your favorites.
I don't eat those.
Right. But you can do raw veggies. You can do peanut butter dips.
I don't eat those.
You could do protein bars. I mean, nothing.
Okay, so hold on. Okay. I can't stand peanut butter.
Are you serious?
I can't stand vegetables.
Okay.
I can't. All right. So, protein bars. So, okay. Your snacks can be a protein bar.
Yes.
So, what is it? Is it just one? Is it 140 calories?
Well,
what is it?
This is the beauty of the plan. You don't have to worry about calorie counting or portion sizes. You eat to be satisfied. You're really changing your relationship with food.
Okay.
And so, if you're hungry, snack. There's no limit to the snacks.
Didn't you also boil it? Egg?
Yes, a lot of people. We have found a way
just
to make
one,
deviled
two,
eggs.
Three.
Look, you can have three if you want, but boiled eggs are good, and we have a lot of creative ways. We make them with cayenne and some vegan mayo.
Right.
And you know, we love some deviled eggs, and those do the tricks. They will begin to taste like steak after a little while because.
No, I ain't gonna taste like steak.
I'm telling you.
I'm from Texas, that's some good steak now.
You know good steak.
I know good steak.
Deviled egg ain't gonna taste like steak. Okay.
Baby, deviled egg ain't gonna never taste like steak.
But
I'm
the
just
snacks.
Saying.
And the other thing, too, is when people get into the second time, they're not as mentally prepared because they say, oh, I've done this, I'm gonna do this detox. But the first time you felt a little bit more intimidated by the thought of drinking green smoothies. So people don't mentally get their mind right.
So that's 10 days.
Yes.
So now all of a sudden with your new book, it's your 30 days to quick lasting weight loss. Okay, so explain this.
Okay, so this is a representation of the 30 day. And what I like about it particularly is you get to enjoy hot meals, good soul food, and you get desserts. We even have cookies in the book because what this is really teaching you is how to eat in a manner that'll help you lose weight and stay healthy for life. And so a lot of things we learned about the 10-day is people wanted a regimen. So for the 30 days, we give you a checklist of what to do. We give you a shopping list. We give you every recipe. You can literally just go to the grocery store and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And the good part about it is you're only doing the green smoothies for breakfast and lunch. And what awaits you is a healthy, delicious meal. This is the Cajun cauliflower roasted chicken. I didn't even know I like cauliflower. It's so good. Trust me. I didn't eat cauliflower before this.
I don't
but look, when you add those peppers, you got all these peppers and it's Cajun seasoning.
Oh, my goodness. And then guess what you get on this 30-day plan?
Right.
You get desserts. There's cookies and brownies.
So what's that?
This is Strawberry Delight.
Give me one of them. Okay. Let me see what it is.
All right, this is Strawberry Delight.
We got all these strawberries in here.
And we tell you what's
in it.
Got
a little green thing.
Got a little honey, got a little cinnamon. We got a little almonds. You get a little crunch to it. It had to taste in it. Like, to me, strawberries are great. I needed something that felt like a dessert that my auntie made.
Gotcha.
And so to get that taste, we had to remake it. So this is one of my favorites.
Come on, give it there.
It tastes like 5 minutes to make.
Okay, 5 minutes to make.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And the other thing, too, is the beauty of the way this program works is we have a Facebook group. It's the 10-Day Green Smoothie Cleanse. Because you know what the biggest challenge people have when they're trying to lose weight
What's that?
They don't have support. They can't stay motivated. You start to get a little disinterested. And so what the...
You need accountability.
You should have been checking in with me every day, Roland. Right. You should have been checking in with me every day because I can stay on you.
You ain't lying. I should have texted you.
Yep. You didn't have to restart twice
if you had checked in with me. It went good for 3 days.
But you tried to do it over the holidays, too.
No, it was, but it just didn't. Go ahead.
So on the 30-day, you have a green smoothie for breakfast and lunch.
Right.
Still doing your snacks.
Right.
But you have a healthy meal. We have all kind of salmon and fish and chicken recipes, and you get dessert. So you really begin to enjoy foods, but also still adding in green smoothies.
Right.
That's how you lose the 20 pounds in 30 days. Your energy is going to increase. Your digestion is going to get better. You're going to feel like I can start spring cleaning. You're just going to get this energy out of nowhere.
So what's in these?
Okay, so in this particular recipe, this is day 5 and 6. This is called peachy pineapple. So you have your peaches,
pineapple. Henry, come here. Come on. Man, you're dressed for TV. Come on.
He said no.
Okay, so what's in this?
That is peachy pineapple. If you want to feel like you're on a tropical island.
Your mama watching. Zoom it on. You got to stand right here and drink it.
I put my foot in it. I really put my foot in that recipe. How you like?
It's good.
Yeah? Could you drink it all
Let's
for
see.
Breakfast?
Henry really ain't the smoothie type.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He ain't the smoothie type.
I'm glad you called him then. They're not as bad. They're not the yucky green drinks people talk about.
It's mighty green.
But you don't like greens. But is the taste...
I don't like greens.
But is the taste of the greens camouflage?
I might throw some more pineapple in there.
Roland.
I might throw some more.
Roland, I'm going to need you to stick to the recipes, okay?
I think I've been doing this wrong. Because my smoothie been at least twice as large as this.
Yeah. We're going to have to consult after the show, Roland.
My size.
You've gotten a little off track.
So how many ounces is this?
12 to 16 ounces is an appropriate smoothie. And here's the beautiful thing.
That ain't 16.
Okay. 12 to 16.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Okay, that's about 14, actually.
Okay.
But here's what's important. You don't want to get any green smoothie recipe off the internet. You can get a recipe that has so much stuff in it that it has the same caloric intake as a cheeseburger. My recipes are designed for detox and weight loss.
Okay.
They have healthy fats, which are your ground flax seeds. Spinach is your protein, and your fruit is your carb.
Okay.
They are nutritionally sound, and they can replace an entire meal.
Okay.
So this is healthy. I'm all about healthy, fast weight loss. Nobody wants slow weight loss. Nobody.
Okay. All right then, folks. Y'all, the book is Green Smoothies for Life, 30 Days to Quick and Lasting Weight Loss with J.J. Smith. You definitely want to get the book. All right.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. All right, folks. We come back on News 1 Now. We'll talk the debacle last night here in Houston. The Falcons, how did they allow the Patriots to come back and win down 25 points? Also, I'm going to show you some video. Yes, for me, at this high school, 30-plus years ago. Still looking good, though. News 1 Now, TV 1, back in a moment.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
All right, folks, I'm in Houston. Last night, the Patriots came back down 25 points to beat the Atlanta Falcons 34-28. I don't know why we're not showing the video right now. We'll figure that out later. But it was unbelievable. First of all, the first overtime in history, largest comeback in history. Long Victoria Burke, many people said on Twitter it felt like election night last night.
It did feel like election night last night because the game really, let's face it, it was over in the third quarter until we have coaches that want to get too cute and call pass plays when you only need three run plays and a field goal to win the game. And that would be Kyle Shanahan, who in Washington we're very familiar with. We're very familiar with his crazy play call. It's not that Brady's not good. Brady's good, but you need an idiot on the other side to make Brady look really good.
I mean, to watch this, Eugene, you're going, really? Are you serious?
Look,
are you blowing it?
Look, as a resident Patriots fan on this show, you know, it made me happy. You know, I would watch the internet and their penny prouds, you know, get really petty, you know, really, really early, you know, in the game.
Got it.
And came back in the fourth quarter. Go Tom Brady, greatest of all time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But Monique, I'll say this here. I appreciated the HBCU tribute before the game of all the HBCU greats who play in the NFL.
Yes, and we are now in the era of the Trump traumatic stress disorder, TTSD, so you should never expect things to be over until they're over. That's my message for the day.
Definitely.
All right, so we're going to end on a good note. So, again, as I said, I'm broadcasting from Yates High School. I attended the Madison School of Communications here. And so Ted Irving, actually, they dug through. They found these old, large Betamax videotapes, and this is what they found from when I was here. This is about 32 years old. So you see, the medal I'm wearing, I actually won a bunch of medals with our School of Communications. And so that's Freddie Ball, who was also here. And so this was, this is actually on YouTube, folks. So as y'all see, I was handling my business then as I'm handling my business right now. And so it's always great. And so I appreciate it. I keep telling y'all, what I'm doing now, literally, that was the focus when I was 14 years old when I came here, so it's great to be here. All right, folks, thanks a bunch to all the folks from Houston Independent School District and Yates for allowing us to broadcast here. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Arkansas, Pine Bluff, I'm on your campus tomorrow. Holla!
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.